Okay, you can greet. Praise God. Greet 2, 3, 4, 5 people before you take your seat. Glory to God. Glory to His name. Glory to His name.
Hallelujah.
Oof, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Holy God. Holy God, I call you holy. Holy God, for you are holy. Holy God.
Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Okay, I wouldn't be surprised if something has changed in your life, particularly in your body. You know, just seeing something like, you know, God taking out things. Amen. Hallelujah. I won't be surprised. I'm seeing like Paul, how scales fell from his eyes. And there will just be more clarity beginning from today. There will be more clarity. Yes. And the reverence and the awe to obey God and not walk in disobedience, but rather in full reverence of Him, His church, His things will begin to dominate your mind, your consciousness. There will be more adventures in prayer. Yeah. There will be more adventures in prayer. It won't be forced. Yes, you will put in effort to do what you need to do, but there will be more adventures. The times of old are here again, because the same spirit of old is with us and is ours. The times of old, where men would seek to pray 1 hour but go 7 hours. That time is here. That season is here. That season where the things of God overwhelm us, engulf us, where unplanned vigils will happen, praying and fellowshipping with God. Unplanned vigils. Yeah. Unplanned vigils. Unplanned videos, and it will lead to unplanned crusades, unplanned outreaches, unplanned healing meetings. Yeah, where the power of God will be tangible. Yes, and we'll see the God that does miracles more. Amen. In our lives. Amen. Yes, where He supplies miraculously. We'll see that more. See that more. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. There's a heightened angelic activity right now. Heightened, you know. When I say that, I see or perceive angels of God running around. That's why. That's how it comes to me in a knowing. That's how I know or see heightened angelic activities. And I'm not speaking of activities that are just within the four walls of this building. I'm speaking of things that are, out there, something that you left at home, not working, not, things that, issues of life, amen, your file is somewhere that's not been attended to for some time, things like that, heightened angelic activities that will take full advantage of what is ours. Yes. No longer will we allow the unfortunate incidences in life to keep us stranded. Things that begin to work for us. I don't know how to say this. Well, when you're speaking by the Spirit of God or speaking in faith, there's a way you begin to sound as though you do not reckon with natural things again. But that's fine. Amen. But the truth is we must put our focus more on supernatural things, right? Where, take for instance, you are in a place, you are in a place the internet is not working or the network is bad and you need to get something done to move on to the next place. And as soon as you arrive, it works. Amen. Things like that. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
The angels of God are all around us. Things like that. What is it with network? An angel just like this. Amen?
Amen.
And things will be back to shape. Hallelujah. It's about time. It's about time. Add strength to serve the Lord despite the many things that you have to do. It's been infused into you now.
Amen.
You are that preacher. That's what he calls you and sees you. And so nothing in this world will distract you.
Amen.
Nothing will take your time. Yes, you will do the things that you need to do. You will climb up the ladder in your career. Yes, yes. Your business will thrive. Yes. Your family will experience God's goodness. Yes, things will be better materially and all around. But in the name of Jesus, the strength that you need to do all that God has called you to do is infused into you now.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
There will be no more excuses.
Amen.
You'll serve the Lord.
Amen.
You would have sound mind. A mind that is very sound, that is able to multitask.
Amen.
And do many things at the same time.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You serve the Lord.
Amen.
You serve the Lord.
Amen.
Yes, you serve the Lord.
Amen.
It will be as though, the way it's coming to my mind now, let me use an example, as though someone is so committed to the things of God and neglects other areas of life, that those areas are suffering. That's one person. And then you find another person who is neglecting the things of God and facing important areas of life. And then there's fruitfulness there. And then the walk with God and the service of God is suffering. Imagine the good sides of these two people infused into one person. So it will be as though you are giving all your time to the things of God, yet you are giving all your time to other things. Amen?
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 Amen.
It is wisdom, revelation, and power that can do that. And I pray for you that is your story from today. In the name of Jesus. It's your story from today. In the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
No more hindrances.
No more hindrances.
No more limitations.
No more limitations.
You're serving the Lord for the rest of your days.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Yes. What seemed tough before is no longer tough.
Amen.
You know how to deal with issues of life.
Amen.
You know how to find your way around things.
Amen.
You know how to manage your time.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every day you wake up, the hours you have, or let me say it this way, every 24 hours that you have, every day, will be productive.
Amen.
You would use it optimally.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
To be productive.
Amen.
To be useful.
Amen.
To man.
Amen.
And to the service of
Amen.
God. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, we thank you.
Oh God.
In Jesus' name and amen.
Amen.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. So things have changed now.
Yes.
Glory to God. Okay. Let's take our seats. Let's see what we can do with the time we have left. I'll just plan to do 1 hour and we'll be done for today. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Say the hand of God,
is on me.
Say the hand of God,
rests upon me.
Hallelujah. Say the hand of God,
is on my life.
Hallelujah. Amen,
amen. Amen.
Saying the things of God,
I'm
moving forward.
I'm making progress.
I'm not stagnant.
I'm not retrogressing.
I'm going forward.
Today
will be better than yesterday.
And so will it be
every day of my life for the rest of my days.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, let's get to yes, the Pauline prayers. The Pauline prayers. Hallelujah. Yeah. Okay, let's do it this way. Remind me that there's something I want to do. Make sure you do. Remind me. Remind me as well. As soon as I'm done teaching, something I sought to do now, but I'm seeing how that may, you know, delay us further. I'll just yield if I have to do it now, but let me see if I can take off. Amen. Praise God. So please don't forget, remind me so that I can remember to do it. I saw it and therefore, it must be done. You know, at times, the things of the Spirit, you get to function in them by just simple promptings and yielding. You just see something. Once you just yield, then you create room for the supernatural. You create room for manifestations. You create room for demonstrations. Amen? And that's why in some meetings, I tell us that it's okay however it goes, right? If the Spirit of God prompts you to run. Some meetings, it may be distracting, but I mean, we must give room for that. Praise God. Whereby you just see yourself running. And then when you act on it, praise God, when you act on it, it opens the door of the supernatural. Something happens at that very time. Amen? Something happens at that very time. So in seeing manifestations and demonstrations, we must learn to yield. At times, it will just happen. It will just be subtle. It will just be subtle. It could just come like that. And then you just act on it. Hallelujah. Praise God. So 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Okay, and Paul helps us to see the essence, as it were, of the scriptures. He says, they are able, or which are able, to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is Christ Jesus. That is, they have the capacity to make you intelligent, clever, or at best wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Of course, by the time you also read Luke 24, 25 to 27, Luke 24, 44 to 46, right, you will you will see Jesus, amen, speaking concerning himself, okay, teaching from the scriptures. In other words, the understanding of the scriptures will be for Jesus to be known to you or revealed to you. Revelation 19 and 10. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of... In other words, the essence of prophecy, that is, why God inspires people to speak by the Spirit, is so that Jesus can be revealed. That's the essence. That's what that is saying. Why God inspires people to speak by the Spirit of God is so that it's okay to have a weird service today. It's okay. Is so that Jesus can be revealed. Say there's more.
There's more.
Say there's more.
There's more.
Say there's more.
There's more.
To my Christian walk. Say there's more. Say there's more. And if there is more, I therefore can have fresh experiences every day. Hallelujah. So the extent of more is that there can be fresh for every day. You know, those are like eating fresh soup. Fresh experiences. Like I have one today, have one tomorrow, the next for 70 years. That's to the extent to which there is more. So open your mind. Expand your or enlarge your heart for more. There's more to tongues and interpretation. There's more. There's more to how much you've seen. There's more. There's more to demonstrations and manifestations of the Spirit of God. There's more. Since the church began till now, there's yet more. Hallelujah. There's more.
There's more.
There's more.
More.
There's more. Right?
There's more.
There's more.
There's more.
There's more. There's more. There's more that God wants to do than you have seen or are used to. Than you have heard about. Yes, that which you've heard has the capacity to reproduce what it says. That which you've seen and have experienced have the capacity to replay themselves. Yet, there is more. There's more. Hallelujah. There's more. If we would open our hearts to what God wants to do, we will see more tangible demonstrations of the Spirit of God in our midst and in our Christian world. We'll see more. See more. See more. The scriptures require understanding, you know, to get through to them. In Ephesians 3 and 3, Paul says, by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Verse 3, as I read out for a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So that simply means Paul was saying, you may understand my knowledge in the hidden knowledge of Christ in the scriptures. So mystery simply means it is hidden. Where is it hidden? In the scriptures. Hidden in the scriptures. So there is need for revelation. Remember revelation, Apocalypse, to unveil, to uncover, to open. Don't forget Luke 24:45. He opened their understanding that you might understand. That's revelation. All right. So the Pauline prayers are quite centered around that. We have used Paul himself to buttress that point. How that he is one who was conversant with the scriptures, a Jew of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. The Pharisees are the strictest, as it were, sect when it comes to upholding the law. They do so much. In Matthew 23:23, where Jesus was talking about the Pharisees and I believe the scribes, where he says, woe unto you. And then he said, you tithe everything, including plants and spices. Then onions and cummins. That's them. Okay, Paul belonged to that sect, a Pharisee. So he was conversant with the scriptures. He allowed the scriptures to dominate his life. And it is from that being conversant that he began to persecute the church. In Philippians 3:6, it says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. He was zealous as a result of what he saw or read from the scriptures. In Acts 7 and 58, he was there when Philip was being stoned, killed. They dropped clothes at his feet. In Acts 7, 58, Luke says that there was a young man there whose name was Saul. In Acts chapter 8, verse 3, yet a record of him wreaking havoc. In Acts 9, 1, of course, on his way to Damascus, he had gotten a letter from the synagogue to go persecute Christians or the Church of Jesus. And that activity or that drive, that zeal stemmed from the scriptures, albeit without revelation. Does that make sense? So when people assume that because they can read, they understand without the help of God's Spirit, without revelation. And don't forget, we have talked about this help right from Genesis 2:18. The help is found with the Spirit of God and in men. The help is found with the Spirit of God and in men. So if we need help to navigate through the scriptures, that help will be found in two places, as it were. The Spirit of God, men. So without the help of the Spirit, of course, the Spirit of God is in the men, right? But let's say that without the help of the Spirit and men, you may be in a situation like Paul's. Of course, Paul's other issue was that he was not born again because he only practiced Judaism. He had not received the essence, the life of the scriptures. You know, in John 5, 39 and 40, Jesus said, you start the scriptures with them, you think you have eternal life, and they will testify of me. And you not come to me and drink, and you may have life. 1 John 5, 9 to 11. The record that God has given us eternal life and the life is in his Son. Amen? So, if you read the scriptures, the understanding that should come to you is the knowledge of the Son of God. Number one, for salvation. Number two, for spiritual growth. And then you can add ministry to that. So that, because as you grow in service to God. So the Pauline prayers prayed for those who have believed. Can it be prayed for unbelievers? I believe so. Because when a man's mind is open to what God has to say, then I believe there's some revelation there. Look at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. See what Paul said. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Can you see that? So he actually told them that when we came and preached to you, you received our words as the word of God. Amen? I mean, when we go out to preach to sinners to be saved, one of the things we trust God for is revelation. That their minds and their hearts are open to the truth of the gospel and then they welcome it. Open to the truth of the gospel and then they welcome it. And that's important. That's important. So for the saint of God or the man in Christ, you need access to the truth of God's word by wisdom and revelation. It has to be open to you. You need it. James in James chapter 1 and 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And it shall, amen, be given to him. If you read through the book of Proverbs, the admonition of the preacher, Solomon, is to go for knowledge, go for wisdom, go for understanding. Wisdom is principle. Vital, essential. So you and I need insight. Okay? So like we're saying from Paul, if Paul could find himself in that situation, of course, don't forget, he also had another situation of not being a Christian, not born again. But the man with the Spirit of God who does not fellowship with the Scriptures can find himself in that situation. Or who does not know how to fellowship with the Scriptures. It is a great thing to read the Scriptures. Just read. Okay? Good. But reading does not guarantee. I said the Scriptures. Okay? The Scriptures. You know, Paul said, when you read my understanding of the Scriptures, you will have understanding. Okay? So he wrote it in such a way that when they read, they can understand. Don't forget 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and 12. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. And don't forget the conversation in 2 Corinthians 3. So it means that the speech in the Old Testament writings are not as plain. If the mystery of Christ is there, that means the knowledge of Christ is hidden in the Scriptures. You need help to be able to navigate it through. Or you need the wisdom of God to grant you access into it. You need it. You need the book to open up to you. And from the Bible, people that the Scriptures open up to get to walk with God, do great things for God. They get to serve God. They get to know the ways of God. When Micah said in Micah chapter 4 and verse 2, that we will be taught his ways and walk in his paths. That will happen by revelation. That you come to know the ways of God and to actually now walk in it. So revelation brings you into experiences. Revelation brings you into experiences. This example comes to mind, I don't know why. A TV game. And then you are with the pad. Maybe it's a fighting one. And then there are actual moves that when you know about, right? you begin to see or get a different experience or feel of the game. Right? Talk now. That's if you have an idea, but you have an idea of game. And so, I remember then you just give you the pad and then you want to play, and then you just rub the pad. Something will just happen. But when you know the moves, you then be seated quietly as though you are doing nothing. But how does it go again? Is it back, forward? Forward, back down. Then you press box. Then you just see one move. What? Right? So when there's revelation, that is, you now have an idea. It's now open to you. It now becomes easier to function in that area or work in it. That is what God wants. And that is why he inspired Paul to pray for the churches. Don't forget that we also noted that it wasn't that these guys just got born again and then Paul began to pray for them. They had been born again. They had been serving other saints. There was already an outward show of the grace they had received inwardly, of the faith that they had put in Jesus. There was already an outward show, but he now prayed that there be increase. And the increase in that outward show will happen by increase in knowledge. Amen? Will happen by increase in knowledge. So in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, again, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, the essence of wisdom or insight into the scriptures, which is revelation in the knowledge of him. And then it goes on to say, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, or the eyes of your mind flooded with light. Again, I use the popular example, well, maybe popular to me, or an old example of, or a reasonable example of stepping into a room at night that you have never been before. Right? And then you have no idea where what is and what is not. When you turn on the light, it becomes clear to you, right? Now you are able to navigate. Now imagine the room is chaotic and then there's no light, and then you get inside and then you keep bumping into objects. There's no revelation, right? Now imagine it's your room. You know how things are arranged. You know it. It's possible that when there's no light, when the room is dark, you can navigate through. Right? Aha. Now, what would be happening there? There will be light on your inside as a result of revelation that you already have. Does that make sense? There will be light on your inside. Though it is dark, though your eyes cannot see, but the eyes of your mind can see. And then you are able to navigate through the room to get the light that you need and then do, or maybe you're walking out. Amen? Or maybe you are put in a room filled with treasures, but there's no light. And as long as you can't see, you don't know what to take. Amen? But maybe you use idea. They are treasures. They just, and you find something. Ah, praise God, at least I took something. But by the time light shines, and then at the end of the building is the most treasured object. When there's light, what do? You find your way to that place. You don't act like there's no light. So just take something and say, thank God, at least I have some treasure, right? When there's light, you go all the way. Amen? So light affects your disposition. It affects how you behave. It affects your, permit me to say, work rate. If there's no light, you just use idea, pick something and go. But when there's light, it affects your work rate. I could speak like the miners. They know what they are going for. They sometimes know as far as they could dig. Sometimes they don't, but they know they have to dig and keep going. Right? There's light. So they go as far as they need to go. But where there's no light, I mean understanding. When there's no light, what do? You get to the space, you dig a few meters, and then you say there's no treasure here, and you go. Right? Are you here?
Yes, sir.
So, revelation is important when it comes to the things of God. You need light. And you need light to constantly shine on your mind, on your heart. Amen? I'll give you another illustration. Imagine a puzzle. Or maybe a game that you're asked to just memorize what you see. And they give you some time, 30 seconds, 1 minute. And then they take it away. And then bring the other one and then say, okay, the things that you saw there, place them where you saw them. I said, but you just gave me 1 minute. I can only remember one and two and that's all. But when there's continuous light, that is, you have constant fellowship with that thing. Imagine it's something that has been with you for 15 years. That is on your wall that you see all the time. You say, we want to play game with you. Bring it on. Right? When he comes, say, which one is where? In my sleep. I will just arrange them. Does that make sense? So constant fellowship with God's word. Not, I do on Sunday. I do not until Saturday. Then I don't on Sunday again. Then I do on Monday. It's just here and there. That's not constant light. You will not be able to remember. According to the illustration. Amen? So you need light. There's need for light from God's word to be able to see what God is showing you. So we have said scriptures require understanding and we must get that. Luke 24:45 or 44 to 46. In 45, Jesus particularly or that verse particularly mentioned understanding. He opened the understanding that he might understand the scriptures. Luke 24:25-27, where Jesus expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So he took the scriptures that they were conversant with or accustomed to, and then he showed them that Christ ought to suffer, that is, die, be buried, and be raised from the dead. Why did he need to do that? Because it requires wisdom to be able to see it in the scriptures. I mean, don't forget, the people that he was talking to, they were not Gentiles or Jews. Jews are accustomed to the scriptures from a tender age. So why did he have to then expound to them? Because it is not readily obvious in the scriptures. Amen. The scriptures, that is Genesis to Malachi, is like a room filled with treasures. But I will not be careless to say there's no light. Filled with treasures, not knowing how to navigate through. Okay? Or if we are going to be literal, there's no light because of the language of communication. Because of the way it is written. Okay? So it's not like there's light. Praise God. requires help by the Spirit of God to be able to know and see what is being said. Don't forget that we also talked about the four Gospels. We went to Hebrews 2. We went to Mark 16. That what the Lord said, or was spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard, Hebrews 2, will also require revelation and understanding to be able to place them side by side with the scriptures, to agree that this is as a result of the scriptures, that the people who physically saw Jesus and refer to him as the Lord are not telling a lie. It's a fact. You know, because this can look to some people like any other person can be referred to as so and so by a community. They like him, they love him, they just elevate him and say this. But revelation to be able to see that the God of the scriptures, the Savior that was promised, the God who is our Savior, as prophesied by the scriptures, is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That requires revelation. To have understanding and a grasp of what does not make sense to the human mind. So wisdom, revelation, is to see beyond the surface, as it were. To see by the Spirit what the natural eyes can see. Or is it cannot? To see, cannot see, right? To see by the Spirit what the... to see beyond the surface, to see by the Spirit what the natural eyes cannot see, right? Hope that's the correct one. Don't mislead me. If you mislead me, we mislead ourselves. Cannot see? Okay, I'm depending on you now. I'm not thinking. Or the mind can comprehend. Or is it cannot now again? I've scattered it. Okay? I think I went from to see beyond the surface and used another statement that just spoiled it. To see by the Spirit. Okay? But you get the point. Okay. So, revelation is required. Revelation inspires faith. Helps you to be assured of what you cannot see. Revelation. And it is a necessity for every man in Christ. We can also look at it this way, as what helps you to see what only the Spirit of God can see. Just saying it another way. Take, for instance, the death of Jesus on the cross. He was taken. Thankfully, he was not the only one that was taken. But maybe he was the only one beaten specially. Then he was put on the tree, on the cross, right? And then nailed, right, to the cross. Then they put him up, hanging on the cross. And then all of the drama that happened. Then at a point, he shouted, crying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. That That is to say, my God, why thou forsaken me? Then another time, he became lifeless. Revelation is to realize that when he yielded up the ghost, that was physical death. His spirit left his body. Which then is a consequence of a death that has occurred prior to the physical death. So Revelation makes you to realize that when he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that was spiritual death. That which you could not see, but happened. Does that make sense? Same with burial. We could not see that he went to hell. But from the scriptures, we have imagery of Christ's descent into hell. Same with his resurrection. Until he came into his body, I believe that that was also brief. The same way it was a brief moment between him yielding up the ghost on the cross and going to hell. The same way, a brief moment, him leaving hell, and then the next point of call is to enter into his body. Are you there? So the things that we cannot naturally see, if you ask the soldiers that were there that day, that Jesus, when he cried out, what happened was that he took upon the sin of the whole world and died spiritually. Or maybe, I mean, use it out of that. Say, are you kidding? Right? Say, you're just forming up something. Right? But if you say that we saw him on the tree, he yielded up the ghost. He actually died. His body became lifeless. Yes, there can be reference to that. Okay? So, imagine now that the scriptures have been told us that they contain knowledge concerning Jesus. From 2 Timothy 3, salvation through faith is in Christ. Luke 24, that he will die and rise from the dead the third day. So it means that, let me say it this way and I close, that even the people that were physically present where Jesus was dying, being buried, and rose from the dead, or raised from the dead, could not see what was happening behind the scene by the Spirit of God. How much more the scriptures, where his name is not even mentioned. Does that make sense? How much more? Where you have to pay attention and see how God takes a hold of David to speak inspiredly concerning the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So take the scriptures as a room filled with treasures, the treasures of the knowledge of Christ, where you need wisdom, light, to be able to see, continually see, and then it will affect your navigation. It will affect your disposition. It will affect how you function or relate within that space. Are you there? So it is essential to note this. And I will just close by reading Colossians chapter 1. So say, I need the eyes of my understanding to be flooded with light on a daily basis. It's important. Okay? So maybe this illustration or imagery will help us. We are in a place, we need the treasures for ourselves, and then we get in there, we do like this. We turn on the light and turn it up. Papa. Say, I have understanding now. I can see clearly now. Do you really can see clearly? You get into a place, you're supposed to keep the light on, and then now start thinking, but you just turn it on for 2 seconds, turn it off. And turning on the light, turning it off has to do with your fellowship with the scriptures. How much time you give to meditation. How well do you read the Bible? How much of fellowship? That's the amount of light. Amen? Don't forget Ephesians 1:18. You need to know the expectation of God concerning your call. Why he called you. When you know it, you start behaving as you should. Amen? If somebody employs you into an organization, you need to know the expectation of the employer. That is when you have something to do. You don't walk into a place, it's dirty. They've employed the cleaner came late. But you walk into a place, because it's dirty, you begin to clean. Where your own work is suffering, and then the company loses money. Because you refuse to do your own work, but you saw that the place was dirty, which is good. But that's not your role. You need to know the expectation, the hope of his calling. So Colossians 1:9 to 11, and then we'll just close there. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. Don't forget that word filled, or note that word filled. You see such words, and say filled is simply referring to influence and control. That is, something has taken over. That's filled. The presence of that thing cannot be denied. There's dominance as a result of that thing. So that's what it means. So you will be filled with the knowledge. Again, he uses the word epignosis, of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. In all insight and spiritual understanding. That you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Again, he prayed that you be filled with knowledge. That, so there's increase in knowledge, which will affect insight, the amount of light that you have, which will affect understanding. And then it goes on to say that ye might walk. So when there's much light, it will affect your person. It will affect how you behave, your attitude to spiritual things. It will affect your attitude, your reverential attitude with the things of God. It will affect how you treat people. It will affect how you behave in church. It will affect how you conduct your own life. It will affect how you strive to live a life of righteousness. Okay? Not, of course, by your own effort. It will affect how you regard and revere the things of God. It will. Okay? When you are filled with the knowledge of his will, not wisdom and spiritual understanding, you will walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. You will be fruitful in every good work. You will increase in the knowledge of God. Okay? And that will leave you with strength, of course, with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Of course, we can read this all the way to 19, the same way we read Ephesians 1:15 all the way to 23. But let's just stop at verse 11. Amen. Praise God. So, are the Pauline prayers useful? Yes. Should they be prayed every day? Yes. Why should it be prayed every day? Because you need the result of the prayer every day. Does that make sense? And like I told you, if we achieve seeing the Pauline prayers as what we pray every day, above how we start meetings, we would have achieved something. Because if we then consciously begin to pray the prayer every day, it will affect our understanding, right? It will affect our conduct. It will. You now begin to behave differently. Praise God. You will. When you see a firefighter, one who has been trained, when there's fire engulfing a building, you discover that they reason differently. Because their training is to quench it. They are careful for their lives, but while everybody is running away, they are running towards it. That's what light does. It trains your mind. It trains you to become someone who functions exactly as God wants the person to. So when there are troubles, when vicissitudes of life come, how do you behave? It will be a reflection of the amount of light that you have. When things are going bad, how do you respond? Do you respond in fear or do you respond in joy? Do you count it all joy when you go through diverse trials and tests? That is a function of revelation. Are you journeying to a perfect man, a mature man, or are you yet conducting yourself like a child in spiritual things? In a serious meeting where the president is there and everybody needs to behave themselves, that when the president comes, they can even close the door and all of that, maintain so much law and order. When a child is there, the child can go to the front. If you don't handle it, live TV, the child will just walk to the stage. Amen? But when there's maturity, this is how to behave here. And that must reflect in our lives as well. How do you behave? It will be a reflection of the amount of light that you have welcomed into your heart. The amount of the word of God that you have received, meditated upon, and it has changed how you reason, changed how you speak, changed how you see people, how you do ministry. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, we'll stop here because of time. And I believe that that has helped us to yet again this week trust God for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. To trust God that we are filled with knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That we walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That we are fruitful in every good work and we are increasing in the knowledge of God. That we are strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Another week to trust God that we are strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. That we being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the depth and height and the love, and to know the love of Christ with passeth knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Yet another week to trust God. To trust God. That He fulfills all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified in us and us in Him. According to the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Another week to trust God. That the communication, the sharing of our faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in us in Christ Jesus. To trust God that as I open my Bible to read, it comes alive to me. To trust God that as I as I preach and teach, it comes alive to the person. It influences our understanding and it also influences our ministry. Hallelujah. Amen. So, if you still think Pauline, it's not to rob him of what he gave to us, you know, as, you know, limited to him. No. That is what God by his Spirit gave to his church through the Apostle Paul. And if I will pray them regularly, then I will see my life change and turn. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Lift your hands and thank him. Give him praise. Give him the praise and the glory.